right now at 7.
My mom and I saw like at least 3 more people on the ground, like bloody, and then naturally, like we just started running towards our car.
A gunman opens fire at a 4th of July family parade, killing multiple people, injuring dozens of others. Tonight, after an hours-long manhunt, we are learning police have made an arrest.
Developing news, smoke billowing from San Francisco's Twin Peaks. The fire under investigation on a night when firefighters tend to be especially busy.
And a colorful, non-traditional display of red, white, and blue. The message of unity and inclusion at San Jose's 4th of July parade making its return.
You can't be any more diverse than this.
And developing news in San Francisco, where a large group has taken to the streets this 4th of July in a fight for women's abortion rights. Good evening, I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Now at 7, parades and protests, the Bay Area celebrating the 4th and making their voices heard.
KPIX5's Betty Yu on an abortion rights rally happening right now in San Francisco.
Dozens of people skipped their 4th of July traditions today and came here to the Ferry Building to protest the recent Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, people brought signs and protesters wore green to symbolize the international color designated for abortion rights. After rallying in front of the Ferry Building, this group marched down the Embarcadero. Now, this is one of a handful of protests today across the Bay Area. It's part of the National Day of Protest When Women Are Not Free event.
My sign is just, I made the choice. If you choose not to have an abortion, I 100% honor that choice that you have, but honor my choice to have one or not as well.
We have to fight for what we really need to do and believe in as a nation, and I'm just so proud of her. And
thanks.
This protest was organized by Rise Up for Abortion Rights Bay Area. In San Francisco, Betty Yu, KPIX5.
And in San Jose, it was a celebration of diversity and inclusion as the Rose, White, and Blue Parade returned. KPIX5's Kit Doe takes us along the route.
San Jose's first post-pandemic parade is unapologetically diverse.
The Lowrider Unity Council.
You can tell a lot about a city's values by what it allows in its parades. Just 5 days after lifting a 30-year-old ban on cruising, lowriders were riding high.
I'm great with that. I'm very happy about it.
For Jose Salcido, to go from being shunned decades ago to now leading the parade was an honor.
Is that validation?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
You can also tell a lot about a city's values by who it allows in its parades. Sweet Nothing was this year's MC for the flagship parade of America's 10th largest city.
You can't be any more diverse than this.
The Rose, White, and Blue Parade made it a point to put women and diversity front and center. Every color, every shade, every size and shape, Elle Lopez feels it.
As a woman of color, what's it like to be in this parade?
Man. It's beautiful.
This is patriotic to me. Right?
Let's not forget, this is the first 4th of July parade in a post-George Floyd world.
It's nice to be out in community and be together and have my family out here. But yes, there is a certain sense of not everyone enjoying these freedoms, which is disappointing at times.
Speaking of, this is day 11 of a post-Roe v. Wade world. Barbara Goldstein walked the 1.2-mile route in the muggy South Bay heat, wearing a black robe and white lace collar in honor of you-know-who.
It's very important to be able to wake up the younger generation, because my generation fought for these rights that women are now losing. And for me, it's really important to engage younger people so that they can take up the battle.
It is the age-old question. Are we celebrating who we are, or what we aspire to be? Maybe it's both.
What message does this send to the rest of the country?
That we are welcoming, that we are inclusive, that we are diverse, that we love everyone. We are guided by love and inclusivity and not by anything else other than that.
In San Jose, Kit Doe, KPIX 5.
And it's not just San Jose. Cities across the Bay Area celebrating the 4th of July all in a big way.
Well, many people lined hometown streets to watch Independence Day parades.
Yeah, lots of people at this parade in Redwood City. The celebrations were filled with floats and performers, including community groups and, of course, soccer teams. Got a score goal there. The parade making a return after a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic, and organizers say they worked overtime to bring back the festivities this year. In Danville, the parade and 4th of July festival was back in full swing for the first time since the pandemic. Lots of people decked out in red, white, and blue. More than 100 groups took to the streets there.
And in Orinda, people showed up early for a pancaked breakfast, then lined the streets for the big parade. This year's theme was Keep On Truckin'. Thousands were expected to come out for the festivities, which included a book sale and a concert in the park. We're following breaking news right now from Contra Costa County. Fire crews battling a new grass fire. Take a look at all that smoke. You can see the flames as well. This one is in Bay Point. It was reported along Driftwood Drive and Port Chicago Highway. So far, we're told it's actually not very big. It's only about 2 acres, but those flames are intense. You can see a lot of smoke. We're going to keep an eye on this one. And new video now of firefighters on the scene of a grass fire in San Francisco's Twin Peaks. Crews appear to have that situation well under control now, but the fire did send up a lot of smoke in the area. The fire department told people to close their doors and windows if they smell smoke. The fire burned about 2 acres, and the cause is under investigation.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy night for firefighters. And taking a live look at the Parch Hills in Santa Clara County, where fire crews are on alert, and there's a big concern about illegal fireworks. San Jose firefighters and police are teaming up to crack down on illegal fireworks. This means increased patrols and limited access to some of the more popular fire-prone areas. That includes areas around the East San Jose foothills.
With the extreme drought conditions that we're seeing in the community, you know, we've got a lot of very dry vegetation out there. It takes one spark from an illegal fireworks to start a fire.
San Jose has steep new fines for illegal fireworks. We're talking $1,000 for a first offense. And Berkeley City officials have a similar mindset. Both Grizzly Peak Boulevard and Centennial Drive are shut down in efforts to keep the Berkeley Hills safe from wildfires. The city says illegal parking and overcrowding could lead to delayed emergency medical response times.
And we have new information on a wildfire burning in Amador and Calaveras counties. You can see that huge plume of smoke from the PG&E wildfire alert cameras. The Amador County Sheriff's Office now says that 100 people are trapped in the PG&E powerhouse near that fire. There are also evacuations in place around that area, so a very scary situation there. The fire is about an hour east of Stockton and south of Placerville. CAL FIRE says it has already burned about 75 acres and has a dangerous rate of speed. We will keep monitoring the situation in that area.
And Darren, it seems like that's the story of this summer. Every day, there seems to be at least one or two wildfires popping up.
Yeah, but that one in the foothills right now, I actually just checked on an update from CAL FIRE. It's actually around 370 acres. Oof, and that literally just updated, guys, from the time before you even went on the air. You can see that one on the satellite from space. So a little perspective now on what is the largest fire, which just took off in California. Here we are, Bay Area's over here, Central Valley's here. Those are clouds, except for that. That's not a cloud. That is the plume of smoke coming off of the electrifier. And if you take a look at it on a big picture, this thing was able to already spawn one of those ominous pyrocumulus clouds. This is where the fire burns so hot, so rapidly, it starts to develop its own thunderstorm above it. That's not smoke. That's an actual thunderstorm this thing has been able to develop above it. That's usually the sign of a fire that's got a lot of intensity to it. And when you take into consideration, we've already had two fires here at home, the one we just showed you over in the East Bay Hills. On a day when relative humidities are very high, this is not fire weather today. In fact, this is the kind of condition you'd want from a weather standpoint that would be wonderful to not have to deal with fires, but it says so much about how dry the landscape is. Even on a day when relative humidities are up in the 70 to 80% range in the afternoon, we're still getting grass fires. It's gonna be a busy 24 hours ahead of us with any of these illegal fireworks shows tonight. It's gonna be a big concern, something we have to watch very closely. But Mother Nature is helping. Even though she may not be helping for our ability to see the fireworks from Pier 39, most places you'll be able to see the fireworks just fine. and we'll take all of the increased humidity we can this summer. I'll be back with the rest of the forecast. We'll talk more about the fireworks and these cool temperatures. See you in a few minutes, guys. Back to you.
All right, Darren, thank you. Well, a person of interest is in custody following a deadly shooting at a 4th of July parade in Illinois.
Police have identified the person as 22-year-old Robert Cremo III. He was pulled over after a brief pursuit about 5 miles from the scene. Video shows authorities investigating the silver car after the arrest.
Strollers, children's bicycles, and chairs abandoned, as you can see on the sidewalk. Hundreds of spectators fled in terror after the gunman opened fire during that 4th of July parade in Highland Park. That's an area just outside of Chicago. We're told 6 people were killed. 30 others, ranging from 8 to 85 years old, were injured. Video captured the moment the shots rang out, and we do want to warn you, this is very difficult to watch.
Investigators say the gunman used a high-powered rifle and shot at spectators from the roof of a building. Police have recovered his weapon from the scene. The gunfire sent people scrambling for safety.
People started running towards us. We weren't really sure what was going on because we thought it was just a prank, right, until too many people started coming. Ran out with everyone else.
I saw someone like on the ground with his leg in the air and the girl like crying next to him. And then to my left, my mom and I saw like at least 3 more people on the ground, like bloody. And then naturally, like we just started running towards our car.
Another witness says she and her father hid behind a dumpster for about an hour until police escorted them to the basement of a nearby sports store. And a CBS News reporter from Chicago tweeted this photo out of a group of young children sheltering in place and coloring inside a store while their parents waited for word about their safety. The governor of Illinois had this to say after the shooting.
If you're angry today, I'm here to tell you, be angry. I'm furious. I'm furious that yet more innocent lives were taken by gun violence. I'm furious that their loved ones are forever broken by what took place today. I'm furious that children and their families have been traumatized.
And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tweeted, "Americans' hearts are broken by the senseless gun violence in Highland Park today as innocent families were celebrating this all-American holiday. We pray for all those who have lost loved ones and for the entire community forever scarred by this shooting. And as we mark Independence Day today, let us renew our vow to never relent until all our children can live free from the fear of gun violence." Stay with us for the latest developments on the story. We'll post updates to our website at kpix.com.